I believe God is calling us. He's calling Life Center, calling all of us to come in these 40 days of prayer to come and pray. Are you with me? I believe God's speaking this to our community. You don't need a clear message. That's it. The entire leadership team, all the staff is in on this, all right? We're all like, let's take the time and come and pray and be with him. Are you with me? I'm with you, Bri. Well, if you're not in there, jump in today. This is your opportunity, okay? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. He is calling. He's saying, come on, call out to me. And it's a great time to do this. Come on, don't miss this season. I don't care if your flesh is screaming, just like the more it shuts down, the louder the Holy Spirit gets, right? Yes, that's right, Brian. Okay, Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. This is a time where he's saying, look, come on, seek. This is a time to find him. He's close. He's in this place. We're in this great season. We can do this, okay? He promises us in James chapter 4, he says, draw near to God, and what happens? He will draw near to you. This is such a good promise, isn't it? We read it like, yeah, no big deal. No, the God of the universe, your creator, all right, who knows all the plans for your life, says, you draw near to me and I'm going to draw near to you. Isn't it great? Then he further on, he says, and then cleanse your hearts, or cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's become single-minded in this season. Are you there? Come on, I don't want to have any side issues, like Lou Engel says. All the stuff, stop. This is my focus. This is what I'm doing during this season. Yes and amen, Brian, I hear you. Come on, people, shout to me, all right? Come on, prayers, you got to hear. Prayer is the one of the most, I'd say, if not the most powerful thing you can do in the universe. Prayer, and that's what I'm going to tell you today, all right? I'm here because someone prayed for me to be here. You're sitting there because someone prayed for you. Do you know that? You may not even know who they are. Maybe a relative 15 generations before you that prayed for you. Oh, really? Really? Okay. Someone prayed the price. What does that mean? They took time out of their life and prayed for you by name so that you could know God, that you would encounter God. Isn't that good? I'm standing here because people prayed the price for my life. Isn't that awesome? I'm like, God, this is so good. When you pray, when you give, right? When you fast, that's what Jesus said in Matthew. What is it, Matthew chapter 6? Patty talked about this at First Wednesday. Are you there? Slow down, I know. I just got to get to the bigger parts because I don't want to get stuck in the list. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, it says, when you give. And then he says in verse 5, same chapter, chapter 6, he says, when you pray. And then he says in 16, when you fast. It doesn't say if, and these are the red letters, right? This is Jesus speaking. Yes, that's what my edition says. This is Jesus said, when you do these things. He didn't say, if you fast, if you give, if you pray. He said, do these things. These are common Christian practices. Yes, it's not like you're some super spiritual person, okay? So don't act like it. He said, look, quit. Don't be a drama queen when you do all this stuff. When you pray, don't tell me, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been giving so much. Shut up. That's not what God's saying, major in. He's saying, look, you do these things. These are normal Christian behaviors, right? Got it? Oh, I've just been fasting so long. Well, then just quit. Stop. It's all the glory's there, right there, okay? Are you there? It's a normal Christian life. So I'm going to go through a few lists here. You don't have to take notes because you can get them online. How's that, all right? We'll make sure those notes are posted. They're really good. John's calling, they're good. He writes them all down, all right? So when we simply come to him, we believe, okay? What do we believe? We believe that he is. Hebrews 11:6, we believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him, right? So when I come to God, I believe. I believe he is. I believe that he loves me, right? Yes. Does anybody believe that he loves you? Yes. I believe he's my father and he has great plans for me. Plans to prosper me. Plans for a great future. He has plans for every one of our lives. Isn't that good? Come on. Believe that he's with me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. That's such a good promise, isn't it? Come on, man. I took that road home every day the first few years I was saved. I'm like, God, I know you're with me. It sure doesn't feel like it, but I believe your word, all right? Come on. I believe he hears and answers our prayers, right? If we ask anything according to his will, this is his will, right? If we ask him to pray according to the Bible, that we know that he hears us and we know that he answers us. Isn't that good news? Good news, Brian. I love it, all right? Believe that he forgives me. If I come before him and I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me. Man, I took that road home 100 times a day. First day here I was saved. I'm going to confess and get before you, God, and I know that you forgive me. Isn't that good? Skipping on through. Here's the attitude we come with when we come to him. Come with an attitude of what? Faith. Come with an attitude of humility. I'm humbling myself here because you're God and I'm not, right? I come with an attitude of honesty. Everything is laid open and bare before his eyes. How much more my heart? I can't fake it in front of him. Yes, you can fake yourself out, but he sees it all, folks, all right? So I want to come with honesty. Come with thankfulness. This is my attitude. I'm thankful, thankful, thankful for everything, for the breath in my lungs, all right? I come with an attitude of expectancy, right? I'm expecting him to meet with me. I'm expecting him to hear from me. Are you there? Come on, I come with an attitude of hope. hope of a good future, the plans he has. Man, I'm believing he's the God of all hope. Yes, I come with an attitude of love. Why? Because he first loved me. Anybody know that? That got my attention. He loves me and I'm a wretched person. That got my attention. Like this God who would love me and know all about me. Isn't that good? And I come with an attitude of boldness. Well, I thought you said humility. Yes, I'm coming humbly, but I'm also says come. Not with an attitude of cockiness, not with an attitude of pride. I come boldly before him and say, you're my father, right? I'm asking him, but I'm coming humbly because he's God, right? Are you with me? All right, just skipping on through where he invites us to come to him and pray in prayer and know him. Okay, prayer. Joyce Meyer says prayer is this simply talking to God like a friend and should be the easiest thing we do every day. Isn't that good? Prayer is simply talking to God like a friend. Okay, so he says he's inviting us to come into prayer and know him. It's where we know him, don't we? It's where we hear him. He says, come to prayer and hear me. Come to prayer and love him. Come to prayer and yield to him. God, your way and not my way. Come to prayer and delight in him. How many people have done that? I spend so much time the first few months I meet with the Lord. I'm delighting in you. Delight yourself in the Lord. What happens? He gives us the desires of our heart. It's a lost art. It's like the lost art of intercession. Come on, man. That delighting in the Lord is powerful. Come and he says, come and reason with him, right? He's come and let us reason together. He invites us to come and reason. Like, I'm trying to figure this out. God, show me, teach me, lead me, guide me, all right? He says, come, I can come and rejoice in him, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, rejoice. Come and ask him and seek him. He says, ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock, knock, knock. Keep knocking on heaven's door, right? Come and commune with him, all right? Come and cry to him. You've ever spent time? I just get before the Lord. Sometimes I just cry. I'm like, God, I don't understand what's happening here. Are you there? Come on. I feel like my older brother, and I know he's just softening my heart because it's crusty when I'm crying, all right? He says, I'm inviting you to come and listen to him. Listen to him. Did you ever do that? Just get before the Lord and listen. All right? I come and wait on him. Those who wait on the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength and fly like an eagle, right? Come on. We're going to linger with him. Linger. I'm going to stay there with him longer than it's expected. I came in the other day and I came in and for an hour and I ended up an hour and 45 minutes. And I was just lingering. I just lost track because I was enjoying his presence. I wasn't being spiritual. I was like, God, I just want to be here with you. Are you there? Come on. He's inviting us to come and watch with him. Proverbs 8:34, those who watch, he says, watching daily at my gates. Okay, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Come and rest with him. If you're worn out and tired, he invites you. He says, come, man, come and receive rest. Rest with the Lord. Take a nap in his presence, okay? I know that sounds crazy. You can do that. Sometimes he's like, just rest, child. Right? And when we come to him, we're changed by him, aren't we? Things change all the time. We are changed, aren't you? Come on, my hearts are changed. Our minds are changed. Our desires are changed. Our motivations change, don't we? There's no selfish motivation when you're in God's presence. It's all about him, right? Yes, Brian, that's really good. He changes my likes and dislikes. He changes my attitude. Attitude. Anybody get an attitude adjustment when you come and be alone with the Lord? It's like, oh, Lord, forgive me for being so selfish-minded here, being so self-indulged. Deliver me from myself, all right? Come on. He changes our affections, doesn't he? Things I like, I don't like, the affections, things I have affection for, like, nope, that's really not important. This is important. Anybody that happens to you? Come on, he changes our whole personality. I'm changed from where I was years ago or 2 years ago or a year ago. Changes our whole personality so we act like him, think like him, look like him, sound like him, all right? Come on, he changes our character and all these other things he changes. Isn't that good? Are you there? Am I going too fast? Just get the list on the line. Okay, online, all right? He says, come to him and offer him prayers. We have all kinds of prayers, and I'm just going to zip through these so I can get to these other things. He prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of praise, right? We enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, right? Come on, prayers of delight, prayers of intercession, petition, listening, love, devotion, appeal. Those are great things. You can appeal to God, like, hey, I have an appeal here. Time out. This isn't going the way that I thought it should go. Anybody do that? Come on. Prayers of forgiveness. I find myself getting before the Lord. He's like, you need to let some things out of your heart. You got some unforgiveness against people. I'm like, well, they got the problem. No, really? Just that response. You messed up, all right, son? I mean, people that don't even know I have an issue with them. I'm like, rah. God's like, hey, forgive them. I'm like, oh, God, help me, all right? Prayers of the Spirit. Pray in tongues. This is the most one of the most powerful mystery things you can ever do. Like, just pray in the Spirit. Go and just pray. I just challenge you to go in the prayer room, pray for an hour. Just pray out loud in tongues and for an hour out loud. Just see how that goes. See what happens. Crazy stuff happens, okay? It's amazing, all right? Prayers in the Spirit. Prayers of crying out. It's a whole different level. Shouting with a loud voice. I'm crying out. What is happening? All right, God, teach me. Prayers of agreement. This is where you agree with other people in prayer. Things happen when we agree together. Do you know that? He says there's such a power in agreement, all right? power of prayer agreement, right? Power of prayer of dedication. These are other ones, extra ones, all right? Now, these are the things we get to pray for, and I'll get to some other stuff here. Things we get to pray for. We don't have to pray for. We get to pray for the presence of God. One of my biggest things, I go through this list regularly, presence of God. I'm praying for the presence of God to be on everything I touch, everything I'm involved in. Pray for the presence of God to be on this church. Pray for the presence of God to be on my kids. Pray for the presence of God to be on your employee, whoever it is, man. Pray for the presence of God. Why? Because when the presence of God is like there in a tangible way, everything changes, doesn't it? Come on, didn't he say that? Unless you go with me, unless your presence goes with me, I don't want to go. So I want the presence of God in everything we're touching. All right, same with the next one, promises of God. We're praying the promises of God, the written promises of God, and then the spoken promises of God that he spoke to me about things. And there, I pray him all the time. Come on. He said, be fruitful and multiply. I'm praying for all the moms that are expecting in this house to have perfect pregnancies, deliver children full of the Holy Spirit. And all those that are believing for children, we're praying for that. Amen? Continually this year, I'm like, this is one of the ones I'm contending to see happen. Are you there? Come on, we're praying the promises of God, praying for the plans of God. I'm praying for his plans. His plans are better than my plans. So we need your plan, and I want your plans to be enacted, all right? Praying for the purposes of God. This is a huge passion of mine. Got to pray the purposes for my life. I would fulfill the purposes of God for my life. I wouldn't miss it when we get stuck in some stupid thing, but I'd be doing the purposes of God. Pray the purposes of God happen for Life Center, purposes of God happen for our youth ministry, our children's ministry, all the different areas that we touch. You can pray for your business. You can pray for your family, whoever. Hey there, the purposes of God. Pray for the prophetic words of God. The prophetic words are in the Bible, and the prophetic words have been spoken to you individually or corporately as a group or as a business. Pray those prophetic words. Yes? Yes, Brian. We started doing this in that, 97, 98, 99, that words we got in 91 and 92. As soon as we started praying, like, all the movements started happening. Okay, we're going to sell a building. We're going to move into this building. It's got to be God. But we started declaring the prophetic words we had received all, 8, 9 years before that. Isn't that awesome? Come on. Praying for the power of God. This is one of my biggies this year in 24. Praying for the power of God to manifest. We need the power of God to heal people. Do you know that? I am tired of praying for people at the altar and they walk away the same. I want to see the power of God and I want to see him heal. Are you there? Come on, man. I am a result. I got prayed for and I wasn't even saved and I had kidney stones rolled up in a ball on the floor and my brother prayed for me and I'm like, come on, just rehearse your little word and take me to the emergency room. And he literally touched me and rehearsed a couple scriptures that I've memorized forever. Touched me and I was like, like there's no pain. He's like, that's the idea, bub. I'm like, okay, like this works. Do you know what I mean? But I'm praying. We need the power of God to heal with all the sickness and all the craziness going around. Now they're warning, there's a next pandemic coming. No, not on the people of God. We'll be in the midst. We're going to walk into health and wholeness. Are you there? Well, we need the power of God, don't we? Pray for the provision of God. Where there's vision, there's always necessary provision. And we're praying for lots of provision around here, all right? We've got vision for the next 25 years. I'd say the next 3 decades to a number of us on the staff. We're like, man, come on, God, release 20 million, 40 million, $100 million. We know what we can do with it. Are you there? We really do. Honestly, I'm like, let's go. Praying for the peace of God. Be on everything we're at. If you're in the midst of craziness, chaos, we have the peace of God resting on our lives. And come on, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. All right, praying that for the team as you guys go. All these P's for this team going to Mexico. Come on. All right, praying for people. Pray for people, 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 people. All the people in your life, you can pray for them all the time. All right, pray for your kids. Pray for your teachers of your kids. Pray for the schools. Pray for, you name it, people, people, people. List them in all your lives. Okay, I don't care if it's the mailman, whoever you see regularly, pray for them because you care about them and God, they need your prayers. All right, pray for places. We're praying for places all the time. I pray for Harrisburg, York, Lancaster, Lebanon all the time. Made it a normal part of my prayer. These 4 cities, God, we need your kingdom to come to these cities like we've never seen before. Destroy crime, destroy all the iniquity, bring the kingdom of God to bear. You there? This is just normal, but you can pray for every part of prayer for your schools, prayer for this building, prayer for Life Center, prayer for all kinds of places. Come on, just the zip code, your address, pray for that area, your neighborhood, pray for that very area. Can't believe I got to open doors. We have influence in people's lives. Amen? Okay, skipping on to the big stuff here. You everybody got that? You can get it online if you didn't, all right? The amazing things, this is one of the most amazing things of all the things that the disciples could have asked Jesus. They ask him, instead of like all these things they could ask, the one big record of they ask him, it says, teach us to pray. Isn't that wild? They didn't ask him to like, hey, teach us to walk on water. Teach us how to turn the water into wine. Teach us how to cast out demons. Teach us how to turn a few loaves and a few fishes into feast for thousands, but he said, teach us how to pray. Isn't that wild? And I believe he said that because they saw what happened when he prayed. Do you know that? Come on, I believe they saw the power that he walked in. I believe they saw the authority he had. I believe that when they saw him pray, he had this relationship with the Father, and we want that. How do we do that? Isn't that awesome? Of all the things they could ask him. I know it's probably not recorded, but the one thing they pick out in Luke chapter 11, 1, it's like, teach us to pray. Isn't that interesting? I thought, okay, God, there's something here, right? And in Matthew chapter 6, and we won't go into the details, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, it gives you the what we call the Lord's Prayer. Everybody familiar with that? If you weren't here Wednesday night, we'll go online and listen to it, okay? Life Center Ministries, YouTube. Watch it all, suck it up. Listen to all the worship. It's amazing, okay? It's probably the best worship that is happening that's out there anywhere right now. And the quality of our production is world class. Thank you, Brent and Ryan and Robbie and Allison and the entire production and creative team. They're killing it. We're getting people from all over the nation going like, what are you guys using? What kind of cameras? What kind of sound? It's amazing, isn't it? And we're just like, yeah, whoopee. I'm like, whoopee. Every day I'm running, I'm like, yeah, I just go to Life Center Ministries YouTube. Anyway, so good. I won't get stuck there. The Lord's Prayer, 66 words that you can say in 22 seconds. I've timed it, honestly. You can say it in 22 seconds without speed reading. Slow reading. I can really go slow. 22 seconds. You can sing it in a minute and a half. All right? And it's like, whoopty. But you can really get what Jesus is saying. Sorry, does that mess you up? Sorry. But you can really get what he's trying to teach when you go through each section of this. And Charles did it beautifully last Wednesday night and went through each section of this. And you can spend 10 minutes on each section. It's so good. And that's not what I'm talking about today, all right? That's not my focus, because it was his focus. What I want to do is get after what he says there, because I believe, and I know that I know that I know, God wants to answer our prayers, all right? After he says this Lord's Prayer, and we'll go back to Luke instead of Matthew, Luke's gospel, later in the chapter, verses 11 through 13, New Living Translation. He says, you fathers, if your children would ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's ask. Are you with me? He's trying to tell us, let us ask for stuff. You have not because you ask not. And then when you do ask, it's all about you. So ask, God, we want the stuff of you, right? Hey there. Come on, this is really simple. He's saying, ask me. You guys know how to do this? My Heavenly Father's so good. When you ask him, he's like, sure, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God, right? And then it says, the violent take it by force. What is it? It's both, because there's an enemy that wants to keep you from receiving the kingdom of God. That's why you say, come, kingdom of God, come. Be done, will of God, be done. It's the imperative. He's declaring this, all right? That's another whole lesson, all right? So let's ask all the time. James chapter 5, are you guys okay? I'm trying to get to a big thing here. James chapter 5, verse 16, 18. He said, the earnest prayer, in its New Living Translation, which is so accurately translated, said the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now that word earnest there, it actually means energy. It's energio in the Greek. It means like it has dynamite power in it. The earnest prayer of a righteous person. Well, I'm not righteous. Yes, you are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're the righteousness of God. Don't let shame or any of that stuff mess you up. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you there? Come on. If you got issues, settle them. Get right. Get in the right relationship with the Lord. Are you there? Come on. This isn't hard. Don't get stuck in weirdness. Get to the point and exercise your authority. And there, come on. And he says this example. He says, look, Elijah is a human just like we are. And yet he prayed earnestly that no one rain would fall. None fell for what? 3.5 years. Then he said he prayed again and rain came. Isn't that good? It's so good. What he's saying is you have supernatural, tremendous power when we pray. We have to understand that. That's why the enemy wrecks you. Like, I should go to prayer. I'm just so tired. No, go to prayer. Go to prayer. Okay, well, I was going to join that group, but that men's group, 6 a.m., that's just hard. Go to prayer, all right? Tuesday morning, I know, Patty, it's just like so intense. Go to prayer, all right? Don't miss the part, all right? Why am I saying the Bible's filled with stories of prayer and that God, great things happen when people pray. Amazing things happen when people pray. Everyone is sort of sitting here. I've already said that, established that, all right? Do you remember Peter's in prison for preaching the gospel, isn't he? Remember that? Yeah, well, just trust me. He's in prison for preaching the gospel. So the church prays. You're like, I knew it, bro. I was just like that, honestly, okay? I started reading the Bible. It helps you. Okay, Acts 12, verse 5, it says, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. What happens? An angel shows up and opens the doors. Like, what is happening? Like, well, that's just not biblical. It is in the Bible now. Sorry. It might have not been in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. It's stuff will happen that hasn't happened before when we pray. Are you with me? Come on, it's just so crazy. But when I look at this, I think, God, I was locked up like Peter. I was confined and trapped in sin. And someone prayed for me and opened the freaking doors. Isn't that amazing? Are you there? It's so good. It's so good. And maybe you know somebody right now that's locked up in all kinds of addiction and issues, and they need your prayers to unlock the doors. Okay? Maybe you're trapped in an addiction yourself. Maybe you're trapped in shame. Maybe you're trapped in whatever. That's not God. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's liberty. He doesn't keep you confined. Does he put a bridle in your mouth for a season and break you of your own will? Yeah, that's the kingdom. Well, that sounds hard. It's true. That's a sideline. Okay, well, keep going, all right? It's so amazing. There, it's so crazy. There's this guy named Jairus. You guys ever heard of this guy, Jairus, in Mark chapter 5? If you saw The Chosen recently, it's amazing. This is the newest ones that just came out. So powerful. Anyhow, he pleads with Jesus in Mark chapter 5, verse 23, New Living Translation. He says, my little daughter's dying. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. So Jesus, according to the scriptures in Mark, he's on his way to do this, and he gets sidetracked praying for the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. Remember that? And while he's dealing with her, Jairus' daughter dies. It's like, oh, it's like crazy. Now look at me. This is Jairus' only dream. If your daughter is dying, if you're a parent, you're like, I don't care what's going on. This is my focus. It's the only thing he had in his heart, the only dream, the only thing that was on in his brain right then. And it looks like everything's gone. He's like, it's done. She's gone. Isn't that crazy? Maybe you feel like right now a dream has died. I'm telling you, something you thought was going to live and it's gone now. I'm telling you, stay the course. Don't give up, okay? Because Jesus goes and heals her, doesn't he? It's so good. He goes like, nope, we're going to finish this, all right? And he prays for it, healed. You remember the story? It's so good, all right? So don't give up. There's another guy named Hezekiah. You guys remember this guy, Hezekiah, in the Old Testament? Well, just trust me. It's a guy in the Old Testament named Hezekiah, all right? You're like, I don't know, Brian. 2 Kings chapter 20. And this guy goes to church one day, and the prophet calls him out and says, hey, the Lord was saying to you, you're going to die. Isn't that fun? Like, really? How would you like to come to Life Center? Hey, what'd you do? Oh, we just got a prophetic word, I'm going to die. Like, shut up. Like, doesn't that freak you out? And it's not by like some no-name prophet. It's like, this is some big prophet. This would be like Kim Clement coming in here and say, yes, John, the Lord would say, you're dead. And you're like, oh, great. Let's go home, honey. What are we getting for lunch on the way? I'm a dead man walking. Isn't that whacked? It's so crazy. It is so crazy. It's like, ah. But you know who the prophet was? It was Isaiah. The guy that doesn't need a last name. You know, one of the big dudes in the kingdom, all right? That's who it was. Like, just some little guy, give me the word. Nah, not a big word. It's this huge. Dun, dun, dun. Like, sorry. You got to read the Bible, people. All right. But he says if you're going to die. Anyhow, it's really, really big butt in the Bible. There's some big butts. And then this one's really, really huge. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 3, Hezekiah prays and reminds God. He says, remember, O Lord, how I've always been faithful to you and I've served you single-mindedly. Always doing what pleases you. He gets alone and he reasons with God. Isn't that good? And then he broke down and he wept bitterly. That's what my translation says. And this is the best part of the whole story. Before Isaiah gets out of the building, God speaks to Isaiah and says, now go back and tell Hezekiah, I have another word for him. He says, look, I've heard your prayers and I've seen your tears. Oh, that's so good. And he says, you're going to live another 15 years. Now, why am I telling you that? I'm telling you, this is crazy. I believe God hears our prayers, and you can change God's mind with your prayers. Because God's mind at that point is like, you're dead. Isn't that crazy? He cries out and says, ah! And he says, I've seen your tears. I've heard your prayers. There's people, you're sitting here today, and God has seen your tears. I'm telling you, he's heard your prayers. He's answering you. Stay the course. Don't give up. I'm telling you. I know some people in this place have cried, said, God, show up. Isn't that awesome? I love her. He comes and kind of has it in a good way with God, declares like, hey, bub, I've been doing this my whole life, okay? For whatever time he's following the Lord. And God hears him. And he says, I hear your prayers. I see your tears. Isn't that awesome? So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Can I tell you that? Come on. So I'm glad someone didn't give up for me, okay? Come on. Daniel. There's another story about Daniel. Daniel in chapter 2. This guy, King Nebuchadnezzar, is a crazy, crazy king, all right? You think we have crazy leaders? This guy is crazy, crazy, okay? So he has a dream, and he calls all the whatever, wise guys and the magicians and conjurers. He gets them all together and says, look, tell me my dream and interpret it. And they're like, okay, nice kingy, tell us your dream. And they're like, no, you tell me my dream. And they kept arguing. He says, good, fine, you're faking it. You're just stalling for time. So since you're doing that, if you don't tell me my dream and interpret it, I'm going to have you all killed, and then I'm going to rip you limb from limb. Yeah, just a little extra little thing for the King Nebuchadnezzar. Isn't he a fun guy? Got another day in the kingdom of King Neb. Like, Jesus, sorry. It's nuts, isn't it? But he just acted like a big deal. Like, all right, I'm going to kill you all. So Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, he goes to his squad and he tells them, hey, guys, this is what's happening. I'm urging you to ask the God of heaven to show us by his mercy and tell us the secret so we're not killed the next day. Isn't that good? It's so good. In verse 19, that night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a dream. Isn't that awesome? He goes to King Nebuchadnezzar, tells him the dream, tells him the interpretation, and now he makes him the ruler over the whole province of Babylon. Pretty good, isn't it? All right? Look, you may be in a place where you need a solution in your business, in your workplace, and there's no solutions. You can cry out and say, God, show me. I need your wisdom. Come on. He said, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He would show us things. I think he's going to show the people of God more and more things in these last days than we've ever seen before. No one has an answer. God will give you the answer. I'm just going to encourage you. It may look like nothing. You can't see anything. And he'll say, God, speak to me. He'll show you in a dream. I've got a bunch of young people believing and trusting God speaks to them in dreams. It's powerful today, all right? Come on, we're going to follow some of these more and more. So good, okay? Another few scriptures. You guys all right? In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha and his servant. You guys remember this? Elisha and his servant, they're surrounded by the enemy. And his servant says to him, he says, what do we do? And Elisha tells him, and this is 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. Elisha tells him, don't be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. That's really intense. And the servant's going like, hey, buddy, do you see what's happening here? We're dead. And Elisha prays and says, Lord, open his eyes. And he opens his eyes and he can see the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around it. Come on. I think in this season, God's going to open our eyes to what he's doing and what we just don't get stuck in what we see in the natural. Are you there? Come on. God, deliver us. We see in the spirit. We hear what God's doing in the spirit. It's been happening so much to me recently just because of the fast. 2 weeks ago, Dylan spoke on a Wednesday night. I felt like I was hearing choirs of angels the whole time. I asked a few people, like, do you hear that? I'm like, are you losing your mind? I'm like, no, I can hear. It's like the whole room was full of angels while Dylan was preaching. I'm like, oh, I'm like, is everybody else? No keyboard player, nobody. I'm like, God, it's amazing. And it's when you start hearing and seeing what God's doing in the spirit. I wasn't even spiritual. I was tired. I was on a Wednesday night, like, hurry up, man. Get this doing. Just being honest, right? It was just God. But we need to have our eyes open to what is happening. Are you there? One more story about 1 Samuel chapter 30. This is when the Amalekites came and they wiped out David and his whole crew. Do you remember this? David and all his guys are away and doing a big deal. And these guys come in, swoop in, and they take the women, the children, all the livestock, and all the stuff. Don't you like when people touch your stuff? Anyhow, took all his stuff along with his family. And then they burned the whole city to the ground. Do you remember that? Ziklag? Yeah, I remember. Okay. Anyhow, so 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 4, Jesus, and it said, David wept and he cried till he could cry no more. And then in verse 6, which is another big but in the Bible, verse 6, it says, but David got alone with God. He got alone with God and he said he found his strength in the Lord, or he strengthened himself in the Lord. Isn't that awesome? That's just an encouraging word for you. If you're worn out, man, get alone with God and be strengthened. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Get alone and say, God, strengthen me. Come on, strengthened by the very power of his spirit, our inner man. Isn't that awesome? And David asked him, said, should I chase these guys down? He said, yeah, go get them. Go get them, buddy. Oh, can you see those guys? They were like, ooh, we're going to go get them. And that's what happened in verse 19. It says, they went back and they got everything. Nothing. It said nothing was missing. Every woman, every child, all the livestock, all the stuff. He got it all back. Isn't that awesome? And I believe that we're in this season. As we're pursuing the Lord, God is going to supernaturally restore things that have been stolen from the enemy. I'm telling you, I know this is going to happen. Things that are, maybe it was your joy in your marriage stolen. Maybe it was a position you feel like you're passed over at work. I'm telling you, God, restore things. You feel like they've been lost or stolen by the enemy. It's a great time to do it. Press in, guys. Don't back off. Lean in all the more. We've only got like another 4 weeks to go. It's not that long, all right? You're like, really? Just kidding. All right? Why am I saying all this? I want to encourage you today, every time, and I've been here since, what, 87, 88, every time we do any of these times of prayer and fasting, significant things happen with this community of believers, okay? And story in 1990, I think Charles came to John and I, and there was one person on staff and said, hey, things are looking pretty bleak, you know? We can't afford to heat the building, we can't afford to do some stuff, so we're each going to take a half a day a week. Mine was Tuesday, and we'd pray from 6 in the morning till noon, and we'd fast, and we'd only pray for the church. Remember that? Anyhow. Some people remember. Anne remembers. It was just like, what else do we do? Because it was a really hard time. Anyhow, it wasn't glorious like this. It was wonderful. But we always took 6 in the morning till noon, and we fasted, we prayed, and we basically prayed for the church. We didn't pray for the government. We didn't pray for the economy. We didn't pray for the schools. We just prayed for what at that time was called Word Fellowship. And our basic prayer, Charles said, let's just pray, come kingdom of God, come. So every day we'd like whoever was in there, I was in there Tuesday morning, and we couldn't afford to heat the part of the building. True story. We put a heater on the piano. We had a piano, baby grand piano at the time. We put a heater on it so it didn't have to be tuned every weekend. This is honest to the Lord. We're not trying to boast about it. It was horrible. So we go in every day and just rock. Come, kingdom of God, come to Word Fellowship. That's all we did from 1991, 92, a number of years. And I believe it led us into this place with renewal in 1994. Now, why would we connect to this when zillions of churches hadn't connected? How come? I believe our fasting and prayer. It wasn't we were any heroes. We did it because we had to, okay? Just being honest. So John said, remember? It wasn't because we were really good, because we had to fast and pray. Have you ever been at that place like, oh, we need you now more than ever? Isn't that crazy? So it led us into that. 1997, 98, 99. I think 97 is when Charles started doing a fast without even telling anybody. I feel like the Lord led him to do a 40-day fast just with water, right, Ann? And a bunch of us heard about it, and we all jumped on board. We weren't heroic. We just knew it was God at that time. Tons of people in the congregation grabbed a hold of it. And we started fasting and praying. I feel like 97, 98, 99, we fasted and prayed almost like too much because we were doing these back-to-backs. Another 40 days, another 40 days. Like, are you guys a cult? Like, what are we doing here, huh? And I was like, but we're doing it. And I believe that led us to the point where we could acquire this property and sell that building. Supernaturally, I'm looking back in patterns, just trying to follow patterns, what's happening. Right there? And then once we got in this building, we didn't have this whole section of the sanctuary. Our sanctuary is the youth room. If you've been in the youth room, you're like, really? 500 seats, wall to wall with a tiny little stage and a bunch of monitors so we could, you know, see whoever's talking. Honest. So we got in there, we're like, oh, we've acquired the hill, now we have to keep the hill. You know what I mean? And the Lord will give you this property, yes, but I think it's also like, hey, you need to contend. So, and John reminded him again, we had to. Because at the same time, we're like, okay, how do we stay here supernaturally? So we literally would clear the chairs and tables in the atrium. I think it was twice every quarter, but it might have been just once a quarter. We were clearing all the tables and chairs. We'd start Thursday night, go to Saturday night, and then we'd come back Sunday morning like, Holy Spirit, come, you know? And it was amazing. I believe those days led us to the point where we'd be able to build this building in 2003. Isn't that crazy? And then the fasting and prayers have led us to add the balcony, add the children's wing. Why? There's expansions that God is doing in our lives, and I believe it happens in these times. You don't feel it or know it at the time, but he's leading us to do this. Okay? During one of these fast times of fasting and prayers, Charles took some time, and he did a series on altars. I don't know if anybody still remembers that many years ago. And as I went right into my soul because there's all these takeaways. And one of them was the altar is where God meets man and man meets God, this altar of prayer. And Charles and Ann have carried this mantle for as long as I've known him. When I first met him, they've had a prayer life, and it's affected us, affected this community. We're just so thankful. But he talked about altars, and I remember him saying, whenever altars are maintained in a culture or in a land, those people that are maintaining those altars will have air supremacy, if I could say it that way. They'll have the ruling power over the land. Now, this is just my belief, but I believe over the last 20 years, we have had more houses of prayer across this nation and across so many cities across this land than never before. And I believe the altars have been maintained in America, and I think the best days are ahead. Can I just be honest? That's just my own belief. I'm thinking, man, the enemy's roaring and screaming as loud as it can in this season, and we're just going to stay the course and see a prayer expansion. Do you there? It's so powerful. I think God's doing some things here, okay? It's amazing, these things you watch. So when I'm saying this is because this altar of worship and prayer in this house, not just from different leaders in the house, but the altar of worship and prayer has been established and is continues established for the last 3.5 decades because of worship. And worship is such a powerful thing. How many people have enjoyed the worship in this house? And I found myself in the last probably 3 months to 6 months praying for the musicians and the worship leaders by name. Couldn't say daily, but multiple times a week. I'm praying for them because I feel like we need to cover them, right? Because they're on the point. I got the picture years ago, the worship team. It's on the point, man. When they're pushing through, we don't want them to get tagged. What do you mean? I want to cover their marriages. I want to cover their children. I want to come. So I want to welcome all the worship community up. If you're part of the musicians or people that play up here regularly, come on up front. Let's all stand. Come on. We're going to finish by doing this. You guys okay? Come on. I just invite all the musicians, worship leaders, whoever's here. And if your spouse is here too, if you're a person that plays or maybe you don't have a spouse, that's great. Keep praying for Kevin Oakley. I also want to pray for Brent Ulrich and Ryan Viazzi, our sound engineers, Whitney, Daniel, the guys that all do this. I also want to pray for Robbie and Allison Barnett. Good, Robbie's here. Why am I praying for all the creative team and the production team? Because these guys they're allowing and making something that's happening here. It's being transmitted all across the land. We are spoiled, guys, honestly. When I go back and watch stuff on YouTube and listen to it, it's stunning. And I know people in Austria and people in Korea, people in Hawaii, people all across the world are benefiting from the production that's happening in this house. It's awesome. So thank you, Brent. Thank you for sacrifice. Thank you, guys. Robbie, Allison, you've taken everything to a different level. We're getting contacts all across the nation. People are like, what sound are you doing? What cameras are you using? Guys, it's amazing. We want to keep praying. That's amazing. That the anointing that's happening here and we're so used to on a Sunday continually be transmitted across the land. Amen? Through equipment. So I need the pastors gathering around these guys. Come on. Come on, Rich and Linda, anybody else? Come on, Jim and Abby, jump up here and pray for these guys. Come on. Come on, Bill and Jen, you can pray in. Come on, Sarah. Come on. Come on, Sam and Christy, I need you guys. Come on, just I need you guys trying to. Come on, Rod and Angela, come and pray for these guys. Just lay hands on them. Come on. I want to cover their lives, guys. They're not any more special than we are. They have just taken responsibility to do something with intentionality. We're not just singing songs anymore, guys. I'm telling you, this is worship is happening. Every Sunday, there's an increase of the water level. So, Lord, we just pray for these. Come on, stretch your hands out if you're standing out there. Lord, we just pray for these musicians, these worship leaders. God, we pray for an increased anointing, an increase of authority on their lives, Father. God, we pray for divine protection. Come on, Tiffany, John, Nathan, Katie, come on. David, Johanna, God, these ones that are in the front, we pray for them continuously. God, we pray for Rusty and Mia. Come on, come on. We pray for Sam and Emily Brown. Where are they at? Come on, we just pray, God, cover and keep their lives, Father. Pray for Nathaniel. Pray for Brent and Katie. Come on, Jake and Julia. God, we pray, bless, pour out. Come on, pour out, pour out, pour out. Come on, come on, Life Center, pray for them. God, fill their lives. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Strengthen them. God, we pray they'd not be weary in well-doing. God, we pray they would, I just keep hearing them. They're singing their prayers, God. They're going to sing songs that used to be prayers. Now they become songs, God. Let them prophesy. God, prophesy on their instruments. God, we thank you for the anointing, the glory that fills this place every time they leave. God, pour out your Spirit upon them. God, we pray they have no side issues. We pray to keep them from temptation, keep them from sin, keep them in a place of holy living, holy lives, holy thoughts, holy just home life, God, holy leisure life in the name of Jesus. I pray for they'd stay on this highway of holiness and not fall into the ditch to the left or the right, God. Keep them, keep them, keep them, Father. Let your grace cover their lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. We love you guys. We bless you. Bless them. God, we pray for new sounds. Come on. New songs, new sounds, new chord progressions, new everything, God. Just let it keep growing and growing and increasing, God. God, we pray for Robbie and Allison, God, as they lead this production, this creative team, God. We pray for more creativity. Come on. We pray for creative. The creator inside of them would create, create, create in Jesus' name. God, bless them many times over this year. Let all of heaven reverberate every time they play, we pray. Jesus' name. Can you say amen, church? Thank you, Lord. Okay, one more thing we're going to pray for. You guys just stay here and keep your servant prayer. If you're participating in this prayer time, you've signed up, just lift your hand real high. Come on, if you're participating, you're saying, Brian, I'm all in on this. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm doing an hour a week, or I'm doing an hour every 2 weeks, or I'm doing an hour every day. That's really good, okay? Just lift your hands. Come on, all across this. Look around Life Center. Someone's got a hand in the air. Just put a hand on their shoulder. Come on, I just want to pray you not be weary and well-doing. Come on, let me just pray for fresh anointing to pray the price. Come on, to pray the price, to take the time, give their life in prayer, give their time in prayer. When they could do other things that appear more strategic, they would give themselves to prayer in this season, God. God, speak to them. I pray they'd hear you and encounter you and meet with you every time they bow their knee, every time they come to a place of prayer, God. They come to that altar, God, they'd meet you and you'd meet them. God, we pray for encounter in Jesus' name, encounter after encounter, God. Let them hear you. Let them get things from heaven. We pray they'd hear your voice and experience your presence every time, Father. Talk to them, Father. Wake the ones that up there doing the midnight shift, the 2 a.m., the 3 a.m., the 5 a.m. God, meet them. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. We pray for supernatural grace, 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 grace to pray in this season. We pray in Jesus' name. Can you say amen, church? Amen. Let's give a shout. Yeah. Woo. Come on. All right, have a great week. Love you. Bless you. Come out Wednesday night. Keep praying.